Oh, jeez. I just have to make sure I don't stand up. Then I'm good.
That's right.
It could be out. Nobody knows.
That kind of stuff's okay on Twitter.
I don't know. It might be more dangerous on Twitter. It'll circulate a lot faster.
Just don't start licking the microphone again, Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see.
I had a pretty fun day getting my vehicle back to the dealership after just getting it back from them yesterday.
And how'd that work out?
Oh, man. I'm just so beyond. I won't go into too many details about it live on here because nobody cares and I don't want them to know. But, yeah, it was just a shit show. If you have any stock in GM, like, sell it right now because they're about to get hit real hard. I'm telling you, there's, like, a major recall coming where, like, they're going to have to replace entire engines and they can't figure out the cheaper fix yet. So I'm just, like, this is not financial advice, but if I personally had any GM stock, I would be dumping that shit right now.
Oh, that's interesting.
And not just because I have an anecdotal experience, because there's other similar experiences that are happening and it's just not like hit yet, I think.
And it's the fact it's dealing with the engine. That's not good.
Yeah. Like, it's one thing to like replace something small, but like if you have to replace every engine from like 21s, 22s, and 23s.
Hat tip to the older vehicles, buy used.
Yeah.
Because usually those kind of recalls, like they usually have to do something with like a sensor or something. But if it's like that bad and it's not a cheap fix, like, ooh, yikes.
Well, when I first brought it in, they thought it was a cheap fix, but I think they were trying to put a Band-Aid over a gunshot wound. There just wasn't anything identifying a bigger issue yet. But like less than 24 hours later, and there's like, I can hear mechanical pieces like breaking off and grinding with each other. That's not supposed to happen.
Oh, we already got a disclaimer.
Is that a joke? Because we didn't even say anything yet. Oh, it says COVID on it. That's why.
Yeah.
The title. That'll do it. So there's a disclaimer before you've even said two words about it.
Yeah.
Disclaimer. These guys may not know what the hell they're talking about. They haven't lived through the past 3 years. Like, what?
Jesus. Nope. We definitely weren't talking about how, hey, you know what, guys? The stuff to produce this particular inoculation didn't really follow through with the typical trajectory and, standard operating procedure. So maybe be a little bit careful about deciding whether you're going to use it or not. Disclaimer.
That was some good tightrope walking to not say really too good, much, man. To get us banned within 5 minutes.
We'll try not to get.
I'm a seasoned veteran walking that tightrope for the last 3 years.
I will fuck us up because I just say whatever comes to my mind. So
you'll be the one. I just want to, for anybody who's currently enjoying this on YouTube, just enjoy it while it lasts, because you'll be the first ones to get yanked.
You guys will be the first ones to know we're banned. That's
right. So let us know when it happens.
Good to know we are on everything else, and I think we are ready to kick it, man. You guys good?
Yep. Let's fly, man.
Yeah.
Let's
rock and roll. Welcome to Bitcoin Veterans, everybody. I am joined by Mike Hobart, Gabe, and Jordan. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for joining again. I appreciate it. We're maybe getting a little bit more consistent, more around the 7 p.m. in the middle of the week. Appreciate you guys doing this. As many of you guys know, I am headed out to BitBlock Boom tomorrow. So we had to definitely get this in tonight, and look forward to seeing a lot of people out there. If you are in this space, you can go and like, follow, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Tell a friend, bring a buddy, bring a battle buddy with you if you guys do that kind of stuff. And let them know that some guys that are into Bitcoin and veteran stuff are combining the two into this superpower way ahead of the curve. Like, you guys are so early in this adoption, in this curve. You know, we're taking stock of everybody who's brand new, who's, you know, coming in and supporting us. So tonight we're going to do a little bit of discussion on a lot of what's going on around the world. And I got to tell you guys, this week, it has just been, it's been a bit of a mental fight. There's a little bit of me that went extremely nihilistic with some of the stuff that's developing. And you know, it's like, you try to be that person that's of sound, you know, spirit and mind and body. And, you know, we just keep getting hammered over and over and over again, where we're starting to see, you know, at least just obviously giant shortcomings in government, if not what we'll call, I'd say, an all out soft assault right now. I want to talk about this with you guys because, first and foremost, I think we're going to talk about Hawaii, a little bit. Then we're going to talk a little bit about Trump and, you know, what's going on tonight with Trump not being on a debate stage. And if we have time, to get ourselves kicked off of YouTube, we'll talk about, what's coming in terms of lockdowns and masks and COVID and more vaccines for 2.0 here.
We've already said too much.
Yeah. Like, oh, Hawaii, Trump and COVID. These guys are gone now. But we were talking a little bit before the show, and I had brought up, you know, kind of how I felt about Hawaii after seeing some things and doing a little bit more of a deep dive. And at surface level, the amount of, you know, to give the government officials a little bit of breathing room, just to start off with, we'll start off nice, is just absolute incompetence. When it comes to an emergency on an island that's used to dealing with emergencies, any thoughts from anybody to start out with?
Well, it's not a great start that the chief of police is the same guy, or was it the chief of police or the police commissioner that was in charge of the whole Las Vegas shooting situation. So either that's just like really bad luck on that guy's part, or there's something funky going on and they're using a compromised individual to push particular objectives and missions. That's all I'm going to say on that part.
I mean, that's a solid point. I haven't done a huge deep dive into the Hawaii stuff. So honestly, this is probably a stupid thing for a host of a show to say, is like, I don't have much of an opinion on this. But the one thing that I did catch from this situation was a video of them showing whoever was in charge of making the call for turning the sirens on. And he was saying like, no, those are only for tsunamis. And that would have taught people would know when that happens, they should seek high ground. Well, then somebody else went to like their actual website and pointed out like, it's not just for tsunamis. It's for like terrorist attacks or an earthquake, a volcano, like any kind of emergency these sirens are supposed to be used for, according to their site. And so your little flimsy excuse that might be plausible to anybody that doesn't dig any deeper than that, it's quickly apparent that like, no, that you either screwed the pooch and you made a really bad decision, or this was intentional. Those are the only two options, and neither of those are good.
Not at all. Yeah. And I would add that, you know, we live in such a situation in the world in general, not just in our country, but we live in such a situation now that whenever anything of this magnitude happens and there's anything that doesn't seem right about it, which is usually, then we've got to ask the question, who would stand to benefit from this, or whose agenda will be served and furthered, and granted more opportunity to take away freedoms because of this. And that's what I'm seeing. You know, I mean, the list is pretty short as far as who benefits from something, from a disaster of this nature. And so that, you know, and of course we have to, I mean, we just can't afford not to take a look at that and say who would benefit, you know, whether it's through financially or through furthering of their agenda or their overall mission. And that's where my mind naturally gravitates to at this point.
Yeah. I mean, and I definitely don't think this was just, you know, a accident. The siren for the iron, you know, they've got this thing kind of like the big voice system that we would have overseas. You know, for anybody that's not a veteran that deployed or anything that doesn't understand the big voice system, Hawaii's got a network of absolutely giant speakers that can warn the island of earthquakes, of volcanic activity, and of course fires. And some of what I have learned is part of that area, Lahana there, if those are going off, a lot of the people are instructed to go to the northern end, which is higher ground, right? Which in this case would have been safe ground. When you start to see some of the videos that were coming in, and the, you know, the eyewitness testimony of this not happening and the people being stuck on the Poly and the rest of these roads that were in that area where the police chiefs and the EMS, emergency response people shut these, you know, routes down so that a lot of people couldn't go anywhere. You see them fleeing into the ocean where, you know, hundreds of people possibly died. You know, when I think the original count, within, you know, the first couple of days was about 400, and now they think it's more, like 850. And to see, you know, people fleeing that way and not to, to not have the, you know, the routes, you know, wide open for evacuation, which I think would be a fairly normal thing in a volcanic rich environment. You know, if you've got the threat of volcanoes, there are, I'm sure, multiple, exit routes considering what way, you know, the lava might be flowing, right? The idea that they don't know how to do this and do it well, like they've been doing it their entire lives growing up this way, I don't understand it, you know, not even a little. And then you had, you know, whoever this guy was that was, I think, the utilities manager out there, they turned off the water. During a fire, there was no access to any water at that time. So, you know, like to see, you know, the police show up and start blocking traffic and telling people where they can and cannot go. And the fact that the amount of cars that got caught out there and absolutely barbecued or carbecued, right? Like those things are, it's just one thing after another, after another. And then what I saw was volunteers coming from other islands with boats and with supplies. They started pulling up, and what they were told was that because a lot of the supplies were not donated per FEMA or per the American Red Cross, that they got turned away. They weren't eligible supplies for helping out. And that's kind of, I think, where I really started to get super pissed and was like, you know, this doesn't seem like it's just a really bad natural disaster. This looks like something that may have been planned, that that looked like, if it's not just the most incompetent people in the world, then what you have is some real evil, some real, you know, conspiracy where two people are coming together or more and plotting against these people, which, you know, and then you see those same guys just find a way where they take their boats and they go around to drop spots where they know on the island that they can help the people that are actually inside. And so those people that have been inside, you know, that haven't been able to go outside and people can't come inside and the press can't come inside and law enforcement isn't, you know, allowing, you know, anybody to move around. Like, this seems like almost a concerted effort to me, to first and foremost keep that area as sterile as possible so that more media doesn't get around, so that they can jump to the next crisis and then start talking about that, so Hawaii absolutely disappears from the news.
Well, I've been a part of quite a few like natural disaster cleanups, like between floods, tornadoes, not really any fires or hurricanes or anything like that, but specifically floods and tornadoes. And these were events that were radically smaller as far as like the death count goes and the amount of casualties. And I never experienced that kind of bottlenecking of resources, like with regards to donations from surrounding communities. So like, why for an event that involves such radical loss of life, and particularly from the sources that I've seen and heard, is that like the loss of life is very heavy slanted to the children's side, and there's no, and they're seriously going to turn away like good materials and good food and good like resources because it doesn't come from the Red Cross. Like that doesn't make sense to me, because I've been a part of so many like just tornado cleanups where like there will be people that just show up like storm chasers that just show up with plenty of their own goods and services, and they're like, maybe it's because they're just showing up and they're just giving it to people that need it, and then the people walk away. I don't know, but yeah, I agree. Like that kind of, that seems like gross negligence at the very best. Yeah. At the very, very best.
Yeah, I could. I grabbed a book off of my shelf because I just kind of had an epiphany. Anybody who has read Hidden Repressions, How the IMF and the World Bank Sell Exploitation as Development by Alex Gladstein. So we can tie this back to a Bitcoin and a Bitcoiner. In it, he talks a lot about how the foreign aid system, it's almost turned into like these companies that like they are set up to help with these certain situations. Some want to go in and they just want to like set up their thing is they set up like shelters, but then they go and they set them up, and the whatever issues being dealt with, nobody needed shelter, they needed water, or they needed food or medicine, or they bring one company does one kind of medicine and that's all they bring in, and it's not helpful in the situation because they're just there to get their cut from this foreign aid and then walk off with it. And it almost seems like as this American empire is in decline, the same processes are being happening now, like within our own country. It's either like some evil plan to have all these like different disasters happening here in the United States, or it's incompetence, or it's just how the system is changing based off of our fiat system. And there's now like these private companies that can try to come in and game the system just like they're doing in some third world countries every time there's a disaster, and it just throws like wrenches into the works. I don't know if it's that or not, because I mean, it sounds like maybe there's some good things about it. Like, no, it has to come from Red Cross or whoever else. But really, if anybody's just showing up and has things they just want to give over, that should be enough to like, hey, I'm giving you something. You should just be able to take it. And if you're not the right person, fine, who cares? Like, I'm the one that gave it away. But there's just too much reliance on a central authority that's operating from far away, which is very clear here in this situation. Like DC and Hawaii cannot get any further away, and they don't know what's happening. And there's just so much corruption in between that, and it's just going to keep perpetuating until we kill this fiat system.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And the thing is, when it comes to these types of agreements,
probably shouldn't have said kill.
Well, sometimes you just have to. When it comes to fiat, it does need to die, and it's not a person. So, but it's true when it comes to the agreements that these organizations have with state and federal governments. When they enter into these contracts beforehand, they write what's called a capability statement, and that capability statement is what it sounds like. It's a very clear, detailed document that specifies what they do, and they enter into contracts that are very clear about what they do, who gets dibs on what, and who is the preferred provider, if you will, the one who holds that contract to perform certain things. And that even includes emergency response, and they will adhere to those agreements and those contracts in a way that takes priority over the actual welfare of humans, because they're not thinking about only this, the immediate response that is needed. They are thinking about the long-term contract and the contract renewal. And if there's a violation of the contract and there are certain liability issues that can take place, and we're talking about huge amounts of money. And so they've got to stick to those contracts, and that they care more about them than they do about people. And I know that's not a shock to any of us, but I have seen it firsthand, being in, Mike, you've probably seen it too, but being in areas of disaster response. The area in which I live a few years ago had a couple of years where we had some pretty significant tornado activity, and even a hurricane came up through in 2018. And this area was not prepared to respond to a hurricane. And there were certain elements that came in, and they were supposed to have priority over providing certain services. But the people of the area, they didn't care. I'll put it to you like that. Yeah. And did what was necessary, and we're not going to be stopped. The majority of them, of course, were carrying, tools and axes and chainsaws and pistols on their hips, because, in a post-disaster environment, it can be very dangerous with looters and so forth. But they weren't going to be stopped from clearing out the rubble and from helping people get to safety. But that is the situation, as far as I can tell it. But yeah, they're going to put priority over those contracts. And that's why, and again, that's, and I'll go back to my comment earlier of, pay attention to who has to benefit from this, whether it's financially or an agenda. And that's where we start to see things unravel. I don't know if this was something that was intentional. A part of me, lean in that direction, no doubt, because there are people and organizations and institutions that do stand to benefit and will benefit from this. And I do have to say this, that it was the biggest slap in the face, I think, to every person in those islands and every person in our country when that fucking clown went down there and made jokes about having a little fire where his car, where he almost had a barbecue, and made it seem as though he could relate to anyone in that situation while people are sifting through ashes to pull out their children's remains. And he's making jokes about this. That is a revelation as to how they truly feel about the population of our country. And that is just intolerable.
Yeah, I kind of want to beat up the Secret Service for a second. I mean, the fact that this guy is who he is, and they know, like, those guys know, and they're not supposed to be beholden to what the president necessarily wants, but the necessity of just keeping that guy in one piece and protecting him, like, that's their job. If he is mentally incompetent and not able to even self-help most of the time, I think it's probably incumbent upon those guys in the Secret Service to be like, oh yeah, maybe, but this isn't about Joe Biden. It is about Bitcoin. And one of the things I think, Jordan, you brought up a little bit is in terms of our response in this situation where, FEMA, the Red Cross, who knows where money's going when it goes there. I know for a fact the head of the Red Cross is a six-figure person. And by six figures, I mean well into the six figures. I think it's almost $500,000 last time I checked, and that was a couple of years ago. So the idea that, you've got somebody who's doing charity work for six figures plus, right? And now you've got also an organization that kind of has a monopoly on getting things into, FEMA, that has a monopoly on surveying whatever damage there was and offering emergency services. I think that's a big problem. So we have a really good example, actually a couple of great examples. When you look at what's going on in Ukraine and what happened in Canada last year, the governments have shut down a lot of the rails for payment. They came out in terms of central banks and said, we're not going to allow this kind of stuff. They even confiscated millions and millions of dollars that had been given to a private, kind of quote unquote private charity. And once somebody from the government or bureaucracies or whoever, the money is funding through this, counterfeit fiat class, those guys, never saw the money ever. Like we just never saw it. The guys in Bitcoin, however, set up a couple of different organizations that were going out with, whether it was Ukraine or in Canada during the trucker protest, educating people on getting a wallet, and then everybody in the Bitcoin community providing charity that nobody could stop. And it was direct. It was from one person to another person. So you knew exactly what those people's needs were. You knew where the money was going and coming from. And it didn't. And thing is, it worked. I don't know how many, BJ and the rest of those guys up there for, Hong Kong Coddle got orange pilled, but those are proof cases. So in this type of situation, I actually reached out to a guy in Hawaii today who is a Bitcoiner to see if there was anything going on. And I haven't heard back from him yet, but when we know, we're going to put this kind of stuff out to the community, because growing a Bitcoin response and hopefully even a Bitcoin veterans response to things like this, I think should send a real clear message. Like, you're not going to mess with our neighbors, our family members, our countrymen, people that, that we share a culture with, when, this kind of at best incompetence cannot be the way forward.
And I actually see an opportunity here for disaster response nonprofits to engage with the Bitcoin community as well. I'm thinking of, somebody like Team Rubicon, right? I mean, they're already veterans. They're already involved, and this is what they do. I'm not sure of their current situation, if they're accepting Bitcoin or not. But think about what that does as far as clearing the waters, as far as additional transparency, as far as removing the constraints of those contracts that limit the true response of those that hold them. When we have an organization, whether it's, something that, who knows, like you said, I mean, that, Bitcoin veterans and everybody that makes up this group of individuals, gets together and can push something. Or, I'm just kind of throwing their name out there. I have no connection to Team Rubicon, but, what would it look like to have an organization like that, that was at least partially and then eventually fully funded by Bitcoin, that could, again, like I said, not be shackled by the same encumbrances that those other institutions currently experience.
And how great would it be too, as the response team, that if you had a bunch of mobilized Bitcoin veterans on the ground with supplies ready to deliver, like who's turning those guys away? Because that's something I want to see. I want to see, hey, somebody's going to yield, kind of like at the Bundy Ranch, when the guys with the horses came out and the flags and everything else, and they drove those feds right off their land. Like, you're going to get out of the way, or we're going to move you out of the way so we can help our fellow human beings.
It's a lot like what Gabe brought up too, in the sense of like having a, because it's not just the Bitcoin veterans too. It would also be very beneficial to have a community like what Gabe was talking about, where like the community is like, no, you're not going to stand in between us and helping out our neighbors. Like, you, like Bitcoin veterans, like they could do a lot, but without the support of the community too, and like having that kind of like GFY mentality of like, no, like there's a job that needs to be done. And just because you have government contracts to provide these services, we don't care. We don't give a goddamn about that. Like, fuck right off, get out of the way. There's people that need help. There's all sorts of shit that he's doing. It's just, yeah, dude. Like, and the reason I even brought that up is Gabe actually jogged my memory of some of that kind of crap happening with regards to like the 2008 floods back in Iowa and like the derecho that hit during the pandemic. It's just, there's a lot of gross incompetence, and it's like, no, we have the. It's almost like they're coming in and they're making these claims of like, no, this is our disaster. Like, we have the rights to like these, to like help out these people. It's like, no, like, you. Do you not realize that by doing precisely what you're doing, you are hindering the community versus helping? Like, that's like, and don't get me wrong, I get the justifications around like safe practices and having somebody like trained, especially when you're dealing with like a collapsing building. I understand that. But when it comes to just like chainsawing trees to get them out of the road so that like economies and services can get back to flowing and like you can get back to rebuild, because again, back to like what Gabe said, like, I don't know how many people that are watching this or that are going to watch this in the future have been in an area or a community of over 200,000 people where there's no power and therefore no gasoline flowing. Like, and then also like I'm relying on this example of like the derecho that came through Iowa back in 2020. No access to gasoline, no power for like any sort of services, obviously. And then at the same time, because we lost like 70% of our trees got knocked out in Iowa, we also burned through all of the available chainsaw chains, the bars, and the oil. So like there's zero, like people, like we drained all of like all of all those resources. We drained everything, I think, within like probably close to 1,000 miles in every direction. So like when like this kind of stuff happens and these government services come in and they're like, no, this is out, like we're laying claim. Like, I'm sorry, but you're kind of justified to get like any sort of 9mm or rifle pointed in your face and getting told, get the fuck out of my way. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Like, you just made me feel really incompetent because I don't have a backup chain for my chainsaw. Now I'm just like terrified. I'm like, Jesus, if something happens to that, I have no backup plan. I'm woefully ill-prepared right now.
You don't have a sharpener and an extra bar? And
I mean, I do down at the farm, oil. But like that's, you know, that's down the road. Like I need something.
Especially a sharpener. Like, it, like,
yeah. No, yeah. I'm woefully ill-prepared. And most people don't even have a chainsaw. Now they're, imagine how they're feeling right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I will tell you guys, like being up here in the mountains, like a lot of times I go places with a chainsaw, especially if a storm's coming and, you know, not just one, like there's sometimes where I'll break out the big boy too. And it's,
you may not be able to get back home if there's one road to your house and one tree goes down, nobody can come or go until somebody takes care of the tree.
It's usually in there and wait.
I'll go ahead and plug still here. If you're looking for a quality fucking chainsaw, those Germans know how to fucking make some chainsaws, and they also make sharpeners. So if you got a little, even if you had a person holding the other end of this thing, you can sharpen a chain up probably in 10 minutes and cut like butter again. So, with all of this being said, I also thought it was fairly convenient that this happened in Hawaii, you know, where some of the outside stuff about 15-minute cities, about people calling in, you know, immediately afterwards wanting to know about property for sale, what's going on with the insurance companies right now saying that they're not going to pay out to a lot of these people because of the regulations, a couple of zoning violations. So a lot of the insurance companies are saying, no, we're not going to cover this kind of stuff. It's all too damn super convenient and terrible.
Well, Shane, it gets worse. Like I'm going to feed your nihilism too, because the Hawaiian Islands are also where they do a lot of the testing for herbicides and pesticides and fertilizers.
Because it's all contained. You can do it like
It's all contained and it's like a tropical environment. So you can get the growth to happen really, really rapidly. So you can get results versus like if you were to test it like somewhere in like Iowa or in the Midwest, where there's a lot less consistency as far as like Mother Nature's patterns go, right? Like
something goes wrong, like you don't wipe out half the continental United States. You just wipe out like one state.
Yeah, it's contained. Yeah. And like, especially with regards to like glyphosate, like testing and everything. And then you can like, it doesn't take that much cleverness or creativity to also see like that. I mean, there's a potential relationship for the whole Bill Gates thing and like buying up like the land and then trying to push like all that like manufactured crap. Like, cause like when these institutions or these organizations come through and buy up this cheap land, they're going to do something with it. And it's either going to be massive apartment complexes and setting up like projects or ghettos or some bullshit, or they're going to turn it into more testing facilities for, you know, more GMO crops and monocropping products and fertilizers and pesticides. Like, cause they're going to do what gets them money, right? They're not going to revitalize the land for the community. Like they're not interested in that.
I guess my question to all of you guys, and anybody can answer it, and maybe more than one of you guys, how does Bitcoin stop an event like Lanai from happening again?
It can stop like the event from happening in like a very like long form as far as like limiting like the funding for like the kinds of projects that would have the potential of doing this, because you guys can call us conspiracy theorists all you want, but like the military has a lot of capabilities that you guys, like most of you, don't understand or can't even fathom. Like there's the kind of like rule of thumb that if Hollywood has it, the military has had it for at least 10 to 20 years. And that's a lot of shit. That's a lot of technology that nobody thinks is possible. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about lightsabers. Like, maybe we have that, but I don't know. But the other aspect would be the financial limiting of like the services like Gabe and I have talked about. It's like, oh, like if you guys don't get the funding to get out there, because like the funding that is actually being sent is going direct to consumer in a peer-to-peer fashion, instead of going through these services and they're collecting all their fees and the banks are getting their 1-2% fees and charges off of all the donations and everything, even though it's tax deductible. Like, it's just, it provides a more efficient operation for the community itself to rebuild itself. Because I think another thing, I was listening to a conversation on Twitter Spaces a couple of days ago from somebody that lives in Hawaii, and like from the main island, which is what, Oahu, I believe. There was like 250,000 supplies donated within like the first like 24 hours. And like, I'm wondering if like how much of those supplies weren't sent through like the official chains. And I wonder how much of that was actually limited or turned away, like we were talking about. Cause like, if those supplies were like sent, or like if the money, like whatever money was sent peer to peer with Bitcoin to Oahu, to where these individuals and these family members, because like, as these guys are saying, they're a very tight knit community and very tight knit family on like in the Hawaiian state, to the point of where they can just go to the store, buy up whatever they need, and then get it to them before like these government services even catch wind of these individuals trying to do this, because there's going to be a disconnect, right? There's going to be a lag in that, like how long it takes the information to get there. Then there's potential to really like mitigate a lot of damage and a lot of harm by just acting and being able to perform before these guys even figure out what's going on.
We'll also realize like when organizations are giving money to help control, you know, a disaster, Hawaii is a good example because it is an island all by itself, self-contained kind of. It's not like because you pump a bunch of, and people in Bitcoin, I think, will understand this. Just because you pump a bunch of money into Hawaii doesn't mean that there's more fuel that shows up, or more materials, or more chainsaws, or what. Like, you need the locals at the end of the day are going to have to buy things locally. And then any outside organization coming in is going to have to buy things locally until they can get things shipped there. That's not something that, I don't care how much money you have, like it's going to take a day or two minimum, if not more. And if you're needing to haul like serious lumber and stuff, I'm sure that comes by boat. Like, how long does that take to get from the West Coast over to Hawaii? Like, materials are not going to show up because you pump a bunch of money into it. That money's going to an organization who's doing the same thing that locals would be doing, and they'd probably be using their own pocketbook just to help out if it was these smaller items. Like, you don't need this big system over you. It is only there to siphon off money one way or another, even if they're trying to help, and it's to take your control away from being able to help your fellow man. That's bullshit.
It is. Yeah. And that's one thing that Bitcoin does in these situations is, you know, I mean, I don't know how far I'm going to go down the conspiracy road on it, but, you know, if there was an incentive, and if something like this did have some type of a deliberate nature to it, then Bitcoin removes the incentive behind someone doing this, because it's, you know, we've mentioned it a couple of times, you know, there are so many layers that the money that supports these recovery efforts goes through, and everybody's putting a little bit in their pocket, and it's designed that way. And they do it, you know, it's intentional, of course, you know, and these large institutions, of course, they're funding campaigns and, you know, these disaster response companies, you know, whether it's directly or indirectly, they're funding the campaigns that are putting these people into office. And so, of course, they're going to pass policies and bills and approve the contracts that are going to pay them back. And that sort of thing doesn't happen when Bitcoin is our currency. And when, you know, when it comes to supporting victims of disasters, whether natural or otherwise, obviously this removes the middleman, you know, and the peer-to-peer nature of Bitcoin it reflects itself. I have learned it reflects itself in times of disaster. It's been my experience that when terrible things happen, that people will serve other people directly. There's a P2P service that emerges. And I've seen, I mean, really crisis, it's an opportunity to showcase the best of humanity. That's what I've seen. And they always have your outliers that are going to try to take advantage of people. You always have your vultures that will try to prey on people when they are in a compromised position. But by and large, people step up and people will want to help one another. And when there is a fiat system that does not exist, when that fiat system is no longer in the way in a multi-layered fashion, such as it is, then it streamlines the process and people can help one another directly without, again, those barriers that are currently in place. And I believe that that is what we will see when we reach that point. So not only does Bitcoin de-incentivize the existing system and actually strangle it so it can't survive because you can't have the multi-layered pockets being filled anymore, but it also encourages and enables that person-to-person financial support in a way that people see most fit. And it's amazing what happens when you don't force people to give to disaster relief efforts like FEMA through taxes. It's amazing how generous people truly are. And will give when they're left to their own proclivities to just, you know, to live out of the generosity of their own hearts. People will support one another.
What's amazing real quick about the Red Cross, like to say like some good things about it is, well, not necessarily about it, but going what Gabe said, humanity. Whenever there's like a hurricane or some kind of earthquake, there's so much money given to that. Even though people are taxed and people are hurting, like, people still give. I mean, millions of dollars will flow in within the first couple hours. And that it speaks a lot to humanity. Like, we don't need a central authority to have pre-collected our money, spent it somewhere else, and then print it when they need it to do this. Like, we will all do it. Nobody has to they just have to tell us who needs help. And that's what humanity does. And don't let them make you forget that.
Well, yeah, not only does it happen, it kind of brings into question, like, why are we bringing in this friction? You know, why are we bringing in this, you know, if I were to do something where I wanted to jack up this situation for, you know, the survivors and the people who were involved there, I would do a lot of the things that they did, you know, cause chaos. Not issue any warnings, turn off utilities, block, you know, routes, block supplies, block help, and really, you know, have as much carnage and destruction as possible. That's if I was trying to create a bad problem or make a bad problem worse, that's the friction that I would create. And it, for the life of me, it sounds a lot like what we do prior to invading other countries, right? Like when we go in and we go after utilities, we go after trade routes, we go after supplies, we go after, you know, bunkers and everything else. Like, we are sitting there trying to make these people as ready to accept an invading force as possible. And that's what I see on this, you know, just through and through. So yeah, I think Bitcoin does wonders in this space in terms of freeing it up, because what you look at it, you see less friction. You just see point to point, you and me being good people trying to help each other out or get money to get supplies to people who are in need without any friction at all. And if anybody was there like saying, oh, you can't go down our roads, that you mean the roads that the citizens paid for, you know, that through the tax that you extracted from them, probably at a gas pump, maybe, you know, tourists or whatever. But like, you're going to tell those people they can't go to their property with their property rights, which is another thing Bitcoin solves real quick, and then, you know, helps them, you know, clean up, repair, and start, you know, living life again. Like, that's all Bitcoin. That is sitting there. And then on top of it, you know, because you really kind of don't need FEMA, you don't need the Red Cross and all that kind of stuff, you can start really depending on, you know, the insurance at that point to come in and start, you know, the larger cleanup. Like, everybody has home insurance. The banks make you have home insurance. I think the one point I would add to how Bitcoin might solve this is when you invest, quote unquote, now through fiat, you're investing into a fiat system for property. And the only reason people do it the way they do it today is because it is one of the better hedges against debasement. So as we go forward and we go into hyper Bitcoinization and a Bitcoin economy, the amount of money that's going to be spent on property that you don't have to live in is probably going to be significantly less because there is cost associated with it when you're dealing with a deflationary currency that's going to do nothing but gain purchasing power in the future. And the cost of keeping up extra properties now that you have to spend money on, your resources on, and Bitcoin kind of fixes all that kind of stuff. So I guess I'll leave it at that unless you guys got anything else to say, and then we'll go ahead and transition. All right. There is some more, I guess, fun stuff to talk about tonight. Donald Trump will not be on with the rest of the Republicans. Instead, he's going to be hanging out with Tucker Carlson. I've got this little clip and then we'll talk about it.
Why aren't you at the Fox News debate tonight in Milwaukee?
Well, you know, a lot of people have been asking me that.
When you say there are people on stage who shouldn't be running for president, who do you mean? Whatever happened to Mike Pence? He's out there attacking you. What is that? Do you think Epstein killed himself? Sincerely. Do you think we're moving towards civil war?
It's good to have you at Bedminster. It's very nice.
I love it. You're saying they stole it from you last time. Why wouldn't they do the same this time?
Oh, well, they'll try. They're going to be trying. Mitch McConnell is trying to get senators to impeach me. Crooked Joe Biden is so bad. He's the worst president in the history of our country. I don't think he's going to make it to the gate, but, you know, you never know.
It started with protests against you, then it moved to impeachment twice,
right?
And now indictment. Are you worried that they're going to try and kill you? Why wouldn't they try and kill you, honestly?
They're savage animals. They are people that are sick.
So do you think it's possible that there's open conflict?
I can say this. There's a level of passion that I've never seen. There's a level of hatred that I've never seen, and that's probably a bad combination. We're doing this interview, but we'll get bigger ratings using this crazy forum that you're using than probably the debate.
He legally can't say Twitter because of his like Truth Social things. Whatever this platform is that I've never heard of, it didn't give me the presidency the first time. I don't know this platform we're using.
Oh man, what a cluster! I mean, Seriously, we need a little bit of levity. For that reason alone, I think Trump is entertainment gold, right? Like he's one of those guys. Whether you like him, you hate him. You whatever, you're ambiguous to this guy. Like the guy is at least somewhat entertaining to listen to sometimes. And I will stop it with that amount of praise right there. What do you guys think about what's going on here?
I think I'm going to lead by saying I think that Donald Trump should be behind bars for war crimes. But that we're never going to see that. And he should be there along with Joe Biden and Obama and Bush and all the others. But and I did not like him like the first time around either, when he, even though he said some good things. I don't know if it's the media like in the system itself, like pushing back on him and doing all these, charging him with all this stuff. That's almost making me like, it's very clear what you're doing. I don't even want to like the guy, and you're kind of making me like him a little more. And then I see that he calls out, you know, Mitch McConnell, and it's like he says a lot of things that I'm like, I objectively agree with what some of these things you're saying. And it's almost like my hang up now is like, one, I still consider him a war criminal. That's a pretty big deal in my book. But that I still have this, like, I didn't like him to begin with mentality. So why am I going to like try to like him now? And he doesn't say everything like 100% right. So I kind of like Shane, I don't want to give him too much praise, but he just like, let's objectively say that there's a lot of things he does say that most people do agree with. And that's why he's doing well, because he is resonating with people. It's not 100% of the things he says, but like, he's going after Republicans and Democrats, and everyone's like, fuck yeah, that's awesome, because I agree with you on that. And there's something good to be taken from that, that is the strategy that he's using to lead the polls.
It doesn't help that the Democratic Party, for the life of them, cannot produce a relatively intelligent individual to go up against him.
And neither can the Republican Party.
Well, and the thing is, they ran off maybe the one person. Well, RFK, I think, is definitely the guy on the Democratic side.
Yeah. Right? And yeah. But they don't, like, he's like the redheaded stepchild. They don't want anything to do with him.
Right. So they've run off. They're trying to run off RFK. They're trying to run off Tulsi. Or they I should say, they did run off Tulsi. She's not right anymore.
She ran herself off.
Yeah. You know, and I definitely agree with a lot of what you guys are saying. I think, you know, when I first heard this move by Trump that he wasn't going to do this, and saw people like Marjorie Taylor Greene out there saying, like, why should he? He's up in the polls. There's nobody even close. He's got this thing in the bag. You know, we know that he's a proven leader and like all this other bullshit. From a political standpoint, I was like, wow, this is really bad. Like the fact that you think that going into 2024 is anything like going into 2020 or 2016. Times have changed. Trump, while he talks a good game, was actually kind of one of those guys that I thought was really inept. You know, he didn't really understand what was going to happen in the 2020 election. He didn't put up any sort of, you know, real fight getting ready for that. He knew that they were coming in with all sorts of sneaky shit. Right. And then on top of it, the brass in the military, the FBI, the DOJ that he had, you know, that he appoints, like with William Barr, like that guy, I don't know if most people know about how bad he is, but like that guy's been, he was George Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, right hand man in the CIA all the way back to the 70s. Oh,
fantastic.
Yeah. You want to talk about Golden Triangle and Ruby Ridge and Iran-Contra and fixing stuff for like major corporations, and then being, I think, one of the chief lawyers for Verizon when the Patriot Act came around, talking about how they were going to tap everything. Like this guy, he was bad news from the beginning. So the fact that he's in charge of the DOJ while he's there, the fact that Hillary Clinton, you know, for 33,000 emails and, you know, everything else that went down, like she never saw the inside of a cage. Yes, he's the president. You had Epstein murdered in a federal prison under his administration, and they never said shit about that. He was terrible on guns. He was terrible on private property. And to see, you know, this guy come out and be like, yeah, you know, fuck it, I'm not doing debates. I'm the chosen one, and that's what it is. I thought that was a real bitch move, because as somebody who's in politics, right, like you take on all comers, you go out there and you have the fight, you make that debate, and I think that's what you owe pretty much anybody and everybody who is forced to pay taxes first and foremost. And then I will caveat all of what I've just said with the fact that he is on Tucker tonight after Tucker got released from Fox News. I'm not saying it's a good thing. What I'm saying is it is a brilliant strategic political move.
Right.
That is one of the things that separates him from the rest of these guys that are real politicians. Like they just, this is the way it's done. This is the way it's always done. And you got to go do it. I mean, kudos to, you know, the team or whoever it was that kind of came up with this whole thing, because this is a huge, huge victory for Trump in my eyes.
Shane, I know you can finish this. If you find yourself in a fair fight,
Your tactics suck.
If he went to the debate stage, it'd be a fair fight. It really would be unfair, like against him, because the whole meet, everybody would be out against him. So why on earth would he put himself in that position when he's in the lead? Yeah. Plus, he said something in that clip there. He was like, watch what the ratings are on this. And he's right. And that's something that, like, you don't have to like Trump and you don't have to like Tucker to understand that the shift that's happening. Is if Tucker is going to blow those debates out of the water.
Yeah, dude.
And everyone's going to be like, oh, be like 10 times. The corporate press is dead. They can do debates all they want. Nobody's watching. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a fuck about the corporate press anymore. We're watching a revolutionary shift happen in front of us. Who was it? Was it DeSantis that he did his announcement on a Twitter Spaces?
It failed. But he tried.
But he did it. That was the. Sure. There's something to be said about that. Like, that's just a Spaces thing. Spaces fucking sucks.
Well, it's also a DeSantis thing. That guy has no clue.
DeSantis.
Yes. But I mean, but understand like the paradigm shift and understand like him, hate him, neutral, whatever. Mm-hmm. Understand the moment we're in where we should be proud that the shift is moving away from the corporate press. And yeah, all right, it's going to like Twitter, which is, you know, big tech, even though it's privately owned now. Like there's don't get Twitter, like that's not the best thing, but it's breaking up the entire paradigm. And in that we have opportunities to establish what is going to come next. And we've got to push for those things.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and if you know, Trump is nothing if not a showman. I mean, let's remember he had a television show for years, and he knows how to get attention. He knows how
he's
to get publicity
about keeping attention.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and he doesn't even have to try anymore because they're hunting him around every corner. But I mean, think about the draw that this has to everyone when you have these two exiles. Banding together, you know, being Tucker and Trump, these two exiles banding together and throwing up four middle fingers in the air and saying, here you go, we're going to do our own thing. People love that stuff. Okay. People love it, especially given the total lack of confidence that they have in the political institution now. So there's that. And there's something else that crossed my mind that I wanted to bring up and just see what you guys thought about this. When it comes to the debate, let's say that Trump did go on there and he did have his, you know, and he had his say. And of course, I'm sure that they would all circle around him and you know, throw punches at him and, you know, do their worst because, you know, he's him and he's, you know, he could be the champion that everybody wants to take down. You know, he's Master Blaster. But the thing is, what would happen to the viability of the remaining candidates if he were to come in there and completely, you know, do what he does and embarrass them and make them look terrible and even worse, turn them against each other and just, you know, make the candidates just look like total garbage and lose whatever they have in the ratings. So he becomes the, you know, the clear leader. And then what does this do to the Republican Party if it does turn out that he is deemed an unviable candidate himself? Due to the legal proceedings that he is currently undergoing after he takes all the other ones out behind the woodshed and makes them look like chumps. So then what does that do to the strength of them being able to produce a competitive candidate when the front runner, because they all have to bow down because the, you know, the big guy came in. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the other one. He's the big guy. But when this one comes in and makes the rest of them look like clowns, and then it turns out he can't run. Just a thought, but one more thing that I do want to that I'm curious to find out about tonight because I'm DVRing both of them and I'm going to watch. Yeah, so that's what I think about all four of your middle fingers. We have choices, man. There's technology. We can record stuff, but I'm going to go back and watch them both. And I want to find out what I want to learn is how much anybody talks about Bitcoin. That's what I'm looking for, because in the debate anyway, some of them have been talking about it and they're putting it out there. I'm wondering, first of all, if any of the, I don't know who's moderating the clown show, but I'm wondering if the probably moderator will ask, who is it?
Probably a clown.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I'm wondering if they have any questions about Bitcoin, if it's going to go there when they start talking about the economy, when they start talking about the disaster that we're in right now financially in our fiat system. Of course, they will never use the word fiat in a public forum, but I'm wondering if Tucker, thanks, Nick. I'm wondering if Tucker would have the balls to do it. Yeah, I mean, softball questions like, do you think Epstein killed himself? Really? Is there anybody that doesn't? Okay. I mean, I don't know. But if you really want to ask him a hard question that's going to make him reveal how he truly feels about something and his true stance and his understanding of the situation that we're in financially, man, Tucker, I know it's recorded, but I'm going to pretend like it's not. Ask the guy. Okay, how do you feel about Bitcoin? It's a really easy question. What are your thoughts about some of your fellow runners are talking about Bitcoin. What do you think about it? You talked bad about it a few years ago. What do you think now? So, but anyway, I'm curious to see when it shows up at all, either in these debates and interview or later on, or if it does at all, or if it's just going to be RFK that's really holding that flag up.
I don't think Trump touches it, because again, it's not, that's not his wheelhouse. That's not mm-hmm. something, he's not read the fucking white paper. He's never read a book. Like, he doesn't know anything about, so he's not going to go into that because he's going to lose that fucking fight. Right. So it's the same thing. He won't touch Bitcoin. So as far as Bitcoin goes, like, Trump is bad for getting the word out about it. And the Republican debate should be, because they're all looking for, they all need an angle, right? They need to set themselves apart from everybody else. And so two or three of them are going to try the Bitcoin thing, and one or two of them know a damn thing about it. Mm-hmm. I agree. That will be an interesting thing. And because that's what, as Bitcoiners, we should be excited about, is like, is the word getting out about this? Because like their politics or not, whatever they're going to, like, that the whole regime is, we're talking about like who's going to be running the executive branch. And we just saw, like, well, it doesn't really matter, because they're going to do what they want to do anyway, as we saw under Trump, whether he wanted to do good or not, he didn't get it really much of a choice. The bureaucracy was running it. So realize you're just talking about a figurehead. What we want is to hear people getting the message out to more people. And in that case, like, I wish Trump would talk about it. And that's why he's bad for Bitcoin, because people will be tuning in more, I think, to X to watch this than they will listen to Fox News, which, you know, that's its own silver lining, but they're not, as many people are going to hear the Bitcoin message.
Well, I think there's another aspect of this conversation that I haven't heard here, and I haven't heard really much anywhere else. Is that I think there's also a possibility that the opposition doesn't want him up on stage because he's going to be willing and capable of saying things that they don't want said. Because, like, remember back when he was debating Hillary, Dave Chappelle picked up on this, where Hillary was like, when everybody was like, oh, Trump and his tax records, he's like, I'll show you my tax records. You don't want me to show you the tax records, because it's going to expose the loopholes that I know that you and your friends are also taking advantage of and you're benefiting from. He's like, you could change them all you want. He's like, I'm just playing the game as best as I can. And it's like resulting in an outcome that most people aren't educated on, and that you don't want to like admit that you're also benefiting from. So,
and
like,
you know, and that I remember that debate. I remember I was on a training mission with my team, and we were all just watching it, because that's when back then when Trump was on, like, that's all any of the news covered. And I just kind of remember feeling like the vibe in the room of everyone being like, this motherfucker like gets it.
Yeah.
Like,
no, that was
like
that
he
was
just a literal... said, agree with him or not. Like, everyone was just kind of like, yeah, this is entertaining. But then it was like, yo, that's real. Like,
yeah,
that's what happens, that literal... we all think happens. And he just said it, admitting it. And then he's just like, what? I'm playing the game.
It was a literal pin drop moment, to where like you could hear everybody just in their minds go, oh shit. Like, yeah, he actually just said that. And like, you guys think over the last 3 or 4 years that he hasn't learned some shit about some shit out there, to where if he goes up on that stage again, that he's not going to like have that in his war chest and willing to like just throw that out there and get the outcome that Gabe was talking about, where he can not only make everybody like, I'm not a Trump supporter at all. I think he's a fucking idiot.
Yes.
But when it comes to the debate stage, and when it comes to actually waging war, the dude's not bad.
Yeah.
And like, if he got the opportunity to go up there and drop some shit on people that he like has been keeping in his back pocket, because he seems like he can keep his mouth shut on some really big stuff, and he's going to go up there and not only make everybody else look stupid and incompetent, but then also turn things around and take control of the conversation. Because like in the debates, like, he would just shout people down just to piss them off. It wouldn't look great, but it would piss them off to the point of where they make themselves look more stupid than him.
Yeah.
And then also accomplish turning them in on each other.
Yeah.
Like, he would absolutely pull that off, I think. And I don't like Trump. I would much rather have somebody be there that's an actual leader, because Trump isn't a leader. He's a boss.
I think everyone always has to caveat like how their true feelings about Trump whenever they go to say something positive. But there are some positives. Let's not like get away from that. But also, as much as we talk about how he will just say, he will touch the third rail, he will say the things that you're not supposed to say, and all politicians are supposed to know that, also understand, like, that's why he's not going to talk about Bitcoin, because he has benefited, his fortune is based on the fiat system. He is not stupid. He probably does know something about Bitcoin, and he probably understands the problem that it fixes, but that is against his best interest. He is part of that class that is propped up because of the fiat system. So, like, he'll say some shit that'll help him get ahead, but realize he's not going to fuck up what he's built.
Yeah. Hey, and you know, I'm going to say this real quick too. I hate the left, and I really hate the left for making it so painful to listen to them about Trump in the first place. Yes. That the Trump's accomplishments are super low bar. Like, I don't want to be like, oh yeah, he's not all bad. No, like, Trump's pretty fucking terrible. But his
there was also already a low bar because of every other president ever.
It is scraping the bottom of the barrel in terms of the precedent that Trump sets, because the precedent before it was awful, right? Yeah. It's just terrible. So fuck you, Democrats and liberals and progressives, for making me like so pissed at you guys that like a lot
he
of times
looked, that he I, looked good.
I revel in the fact that Trump makes those guys look like dickheads all the time. Yeah. Secondly, to the guys out there in on Twitter Spaces, thank you guys for being there. If you guys want to come up and say anything, go ahead and make a request while we start kind of wrapping this segment up a little bit and moving into our third segment, where we're going to talk a little bit about COVID 2.0 before they ban us. If we're not already banned, I don't even know if anybody's out there right now. But go ahead. And you can request an invite to come up to the stage, and we'll bring you up, and appreciate everybody being out there. Wade's out there, special hello to him, and Eric, and that is Bitcoin Sailor again. Appreciate you guys.
Wade, I've got something that that you and I have been talking about. I'm working on putting it together. I've been juggling a lot of stuff, man. I'm not ignoring you. I just wanted you to know that.
Yeah, but we're doing that. We're trying to do this every Wednesday night, and we're varying a little bit on times. There's some stuff going on in places where we're adjusting. So the fact that we're getting this out even once a week, sometimes with some of our crazy schedules, I think kudos to everybody. And thanks for, you know, trying to keep up with us here. As we move over, the other thing that came to light this week, let's see if I can do this. Are you guys still seeing Tucker Carlson on there?
Yep. Yeah. The video also earlier when it was playing, the video just stopped and the audio
froze. I may have to come back. Let's see if you guys can talk amongst yourselves here.
Hey, so real quick, I just wanted to point out to CoinFather, like on his own initiative, like went out, had t-shirts and hats and stickers and shit made for Bitcoin veterans, and just kind of asked kind of the group, hey, who wants what? I got this, and has sent us all this. So I'm wearing the shirt.
Nice.
I got the hat. Nice. I got the sticker in the other room. Like,
oh, dang.
It's a legit sticker. His goal is to like go, he's in the Air Force, and he's like, I'm going to go to air shows and just slap it on the wheel of like an F-35 or something. So everyone that comes by like sees it, and they're like,
to get the F-35 working first.
Well, yeah, that's the other. As long as it's on the ground, people will see it. We don't want it flying around where no one will see the sticker.
But
these things are legit. Like, if you put it on your car, it's going to stay there. It's not going to like peel off. These things are like, so I was like, damn, that's like a nice sticker. Now I've got to convince my wife to put it on the back of the car.
Means be choosy about where you're going to put it.
Yeah, dude. But it's an awesome, like, thank you, CoinFather, for putting that together. Like, that's some cool merch, and he's bringing a lot of it with him to Pacific Bitcoin so he can hand it out to a lot of the guys in the community. And also, so if you aren't already, if you're listening to this and you're not part of our chat group, like, DM any one of us. All right, DM me. All right, these other guys like have real jobs. DM me, and I'll hook you up. We'll get you in the chat group, because like, we're building an awesome community there. We love everybody's feedback in there. There's awesome dudes that make shit like this and send it out to everybody. It's awesome. So DM me at Op Libertas on Twitter, and we'll hook you up.
Yeah, and Pacific Bitcoin, if you guys don't know, it's October 5th through the 6th. It's out in Los Angeles, in Santa Monica. You can get your tickets, and there's think some discount codes out there floating around if you're handy. So maybe something to plan for if you're on the West Coast, especially, and you want to come out and meet some people, especially you Bitcoin veterans, man. Like, it'd be really cool. Maybe this would be the first spot. I know myself and Alex will be out there. So if you're on the West Coast and you want to come down, maybe let one of us know. And we'll see what we can do. But there's going to be some big announcements over there, which is going to include some veterans. And I think this is a really cool place for guys to get together and start meeting up and forming this Bitcoin veterans community.
Why the hell don't we have a Bitcoin veterans promo code? Like, I know a couple guys that work there.
Because we're new, Jordan. That's right. They're doing a lot.
I'm not saying we have to get anything. We don't have to. They don't have to pay us a dime. They're already.
We're on the groundbreaking episode 10 right now. Damn it! Like, where?
Literally, I just want a promo code. I don't want to like get a cut out of anything. I just want to be like, yeah, man, use my promo code, bro.
Well, we got to start bringing people in, and once we start bringing people in, they'll give us a promo code, and then they'll track how many people we're bringing in. But without further ado, tracking people, what's that? nice segue. Nice. The Independent is reporting that new COVID wave has begun, and masks should be worn again. Scientists warn.
Really hate when Alex Jones is consistently correct, dude. I hate saying those words coming out of my mouth more than I hate giving praise to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's neck and neck. It's a close race.
Like, did you guys watch, like, the very first time I actually watched any segment of InfoWars was when I saw that Alex Jones was talking about how he had testimonies or claims from individuals within the TSA and some other government organization that the actual framework and infrastructure and legitimate planning coming from up on high down through the chain of command, that they're planning on in September rolling out mask mandates and all this COVID crap again. I was just like, I watched it because I didn't want it to be true. I wanted there to be like holes in his argument, but I mean, like, kind of hard to find holes in the argument when there isn't physical evidence. But I'm just like, what's even worse is that I think all of us can like agree that after all the shit that's popped off in the last 36 months, it's really easy to believe that this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura video of them like bringing, now they've kind of like, they kind of hokey-doked it and made it look like more dramatic, but they like brought this doctor in who was, I forget if it was just about the vaccine or a pandemic, but like she came in and was like, and this was like early 2000s, I want to say, maybe later to, or you know, 20-aughts, was just like laying out like COVID lockdowns. And somebody, like, that video went viral relatively recently, and it was like, well, that's kind of like, oh, so Alex Jones was kind of right even back then. Like, fuck, maybe I should start listening to the motherfucker instead of blowing him off. Bitch. Maybe that's why they want me to not listen to him. Oh, there it is.
Agenda afoot to force the population to undergo different type of medical.
Our treatment. Producer is on it tonight.
We're seeing a medical tyranny.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Yeah, that's right. Now.
Worldwide and the World Health Organization.
Who's behind all this?
The Bilderberg Group. They want a planetary dictatorship.
Now called the WEF.
Yeah, see, and that's the funny thing is, like, that's where a lot of people, he lost a lot of people. He said Bilderberg. And he's, what did he say after that? They want a planetary one world government. Blah,
blah. Which is ridiculous, because the Bilderberg Group, like, they've been publishing their meetings for years.
But they are the like go to like conspiracy theorist. They're like everyone assumes they're part of the Illuminati, which is even the more like, if you threw that word around, right, you're going to lose a lot of people.
That's what most people don't understand, too.
Just common interest, right? And that's the thing, is a lot of these people, when you're a billionaire, there are billionaire clubs. And when you roll around and print the money for free and, you know, debase everybody else, like, you hang out with different types of people because you have different kinds of lives and enjoy shit that most people can't even imagine. And yeah, do you have, you know, pastimes of collapsing entire countries and starving people to death and, you know, your interests? Of course you do. Those overlapping interests aren't conspiracy. It's just overlapping interests. Like, you know, the great George Carlin said, the fact that, you know, Bilderberg, you got WEF, you got, you know, the WHO.
Let's throw in a couple more words for the SEO for the Google Analytics. So let's go block this video. Hey. Like you throw in Bohemian Grove, throw in like
IMF, World Bank.
They Skull were and Bones. Just throw in all this shit because, like, it is. It's all just an overlapping Venn diagram that ends up looking like a freaking mandala pattern with, like, I don't know who you would put at the very center. I don't know if I would claim Klaus Schwab is at the center. That gives him too much, like, gives him too much credit. Too I much personally think that. He, yeah, I think he's yeah. too much of an idiot for that.
Homework assignment for the graphic designers out there in the audience. Hey, get the Venn diagram of all the billionaire groups out there, and
we'll find out who's behind this motherfucking thing. We're on to you.
Scooby-Doo this shit. Pull off mask.
Oh, no, it's us.
Pull off a mask of Bill Gates.
Pull off under mask.
It's Bill Gates.
Oh, man.
I just want to add that it is somewhat astonishing that we can go through what we went through, you know, as a society, I mean, really as a species of humans,
yeah,
that we can go through what we went through, the mass shared trauma that everyone experienced, you know, whether it's from the forced mandates, vaccines, everything else, the masking, the forcing children to stay home and cut them off from their social circles in pivotal times of adolescence, where that's the most important factor of their growth, which I witnessed firsthand, and it sucks. But all of the shit that we went through as a group of humans that were subjected to this garbage, and the facts that have revealed themselves that were in the beginning called conspiracies and misinformation and disinformation, which have now revealed themselves as truth. Okay. I mean, does anybody really care? I mean, you know, maybe it didn't come from a wet market. Okay, so the fact, the evidence does show, okay, look, it came from this lab in Wuhan that was receiving money from us. That's kind of weird. Okay, and yet still, you know, wait, there's data that masks don't actually work. Goodbye, YouTube. But that's what it says. It doesn't stop it. Okay, wait a minute. The vaccine is there's a strong link between people who are vaccinated that are young, healthy, professional athlete type of people, literally, that are falling over dead from heart failure.
And by YouTube number 4 for the show.
Fuck them. So
damn, are we still up? This is amazing.
But
chime in if you're out there on YouTube.
But I feel like it just needs to be said that the evidence is there, but it what's astonishing to me is that there are so many in our population that will willingly accept these types of mandates once again. And the headline that you showed up there, Shane, was very presumptive in saying that, it has begun is what it says. This new wave has begun. That's a pretty bold conclusion, I would say. And not, hey, we've got a few cases here. Okay, some cases are rising. Okay, we're going to go ahead and take care of this. People are going to wash their hands. They're going to take ivermectin or whatever they're going to do. But to say it has begun. So, all right, get ready because now it's happening again. I was driving around today, just this afternoon, and there was somebody in a nice little souped up Mustang riding around by themselves.
Say it.
You know, just look like a badass, you know, but was wearing a mask.
Yes.
By themselves.
Those are my favorite.
And I just, I can't help but drive by and just look at them in disgust. Like, what the hell's wrong with you, man? Who, what are you on your way to freaking surgery?
Well, this goes back to what Shane said earlier about not having a particular dislike for a particular direction of political leaning individuals. And it's like, they're all on one side.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dave Smith just had his special come out yesterday, and in it, he's got a part where he was like, man, at the beginning, I was like, yo, I don't really think masks work, but I don't really know. Fuck, I don't really care. I just don't want to wear them. But if you want to wear it, that's fine. That's cool, man. Like, whatever. And now I look at somebody with a mask on, and I'm like, I fucking hate you. You are stupid. Like you see somebody, they're outside by themselves. So I was at like the track, and this is like in a the small town in this rural community. You go to like the high school running track and there was somebody like walking around with a mask on. And I'm like, you're outside by yourself. It's like 8 a.m. and it's just you and me on the track and we're not even anywhere near each other. And you're wearing a mask outside.
Yeah. Well, and that's what frightens me is that I mean, it's a little crazy and it gets into some psychological realms here, but why not? I believe that there are some people that took comfort in being dependent upon something larger and smarter than them to go ahead and guide their steps and tell them what they can and cannot do. There's safety in captivity and there's safety in restraint and there's safety within confines for some people. Some people thrive on that.
And I don't mean to cut you off, Gabe, but the irony in that is that that sounds a lot like religion, which they think that they're above and they don't realize they've just replaced it with the state.
Yep.
That's powerful.
This is all
nice.
This is all I see when I see somebody driving around in a car without anybody else wearing a mask. This is the energy right here.
Oh man.
Good Lord. That's yeah. just not acceptable. Well, that and what makes matters worse too is that I don't know if you guys have noticed, but like the way that they're naming or labeling the quote unquote variants has been progressively getting farther and farther away from relying on the COVID nomenclature. And it's getting more and more complicated to where it like, it looks more like the kind of like code naming that would be used for like a Mark IV or Mark V weaponry. Right. Cause it's like XBB-110 or whatever the crap is now. And like on top of that, there's also the fact that, so there's like the long form strategy of what's going on here. Like Gabe, like you mentioned how like it's now more socially accepted and widely known that it didn't come from a wet market in Wuhan. It came from the lab. It was leaked out, or like as far as exposure or whatever. There's a conversation to be had as far as like when it spread, and it's been widely known across virology and immunology that when you have something that is spreading like what COVID was doing and you develop a therapeutic to limit the symptoms but not actually prevent the transmission, because you can't, because we haven't figured out how to prevent the transmission of the common cold, and this is from the same family of the common cold, so why the hell would we have figured it out now?
Yep.
But when you produce a therapeutic that attempts to control the symptoms but doesn't control the spread, it causes just an explosion of variants as far as like mutations that like try to figure out ways around like being able to spread without like producing the symptoms, right? There's a conversation. Which
is a good thing. Like that is such a natural good thing that these germs should become more spreadable but less lethal.
Yeah, they attenuate. But there's a conversation to be had as far as like, because this was developed in a lab, and that because this has spread around the globe many multiple times now to the point of where people are just like desensitized to it, to the point of where, is there a possibility of something intentionally getting released that is actually deadly to the point of now where people are resistant to wearing the masks and everything, so like when it comes out and like it does circulate and it does start killing people and particularly starts killing children, and then they use that to point at the individuals like us that have been saying, it's like the masks don't work, stop worrying about them, the lockdowns don't work, stop worrying about them, stop complying, and then they're going to point at the like our particular group of individuals and be like, they're the problem, this wouldn't have happened if they weren't going around and telling everybody to not wear the mask, to not comply to the lockdowns, do this, all the other shit, because like that's a very real possibility.
And that is a big thing that like my wife and I have talked about. She was like, well, why don't you think people were like more up in arms about it then? And I was like, because it didn't affect the kids. Like,
yeah.
Like the one thing that people weren't pissed off about in either direction, like either overreacted and like, let's lock down harder, or were like, oh, you're going too far. Like the one thing is nobody cared enough because kids were fine. Everyone knew that from the get-go. And that was almost the weird thing. It was like, kids are fine. like the one group that you know would like set things off. If I wanted to run an experiment, the last thing, even like even if I had a little bit of ethics doing some fucked up shit like this, it would be like, all right, but I draw the line at kids, right? Like I'm not gonna like kill kids.
And we went to great lengths to protect the elderly, which are the like they're gonna be the soonest to die anyway.
I know they're like they've lived a good life. It's time, you know.
But it's impressive what we let ourselves get pushed to when it was the elderly and the morbidly obese.
Yeah,
and not just morbidly obese, but the obese that were at like
with other diseases.
Yeah, the comorbidities. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's just like we let ourselves get pushed to a very extreme level to defend the individuals that are already the most fragile in society.
I think I am. I might be the most white pilled here. I don't know. Maybe that's saying a lot. You guys are pretty positive motherfuckers, but like the one thing that I'll say is different is like at least the circles I was in, it was like, I don't really know. A lot of us question it. The thing is, like, what I trust is people that question things. If you question things, you're already starting out on the right foot because you want to know the truth. You don't question things because you want to be a fucking dick. Nobody's like, I'm just going to make a question about this thing so I can piss you off.
I'm going to be devil's advocate.
Yeah, like, I just want to know the truth. And I understand what you're saying, and it's got some merits, but have you considered these downsides? So if there were a new thing that were to come out, even if it's still labeled, you know, COVID XY73 hashtag X, I don't know. Like, and nobody gives a shit about it. But if all of a sudden it's like, no, people are really dying from this and they're pushing it in the news, I'm not going to be like, well, the news is pushing it, so it's bullshit. Like, I'm going to say that, but I'm going to be like, well, I want to see the facts. If you're saying this, where are the fucking facts? And that is like to play devil's advocate to you, Mike. I hope that people have the reaction of like, yeah, I was pushing back and you want to try to blame me? Okay, well, I saw your facts and they're bullshit. Or I saw your facts and I was like, no, I was the guy that was screaming like the sky is falling when it was. And now that it wasn't falling when y'all were trying to tell me it was. And then now I'm saying like, no, like seriously, shit's bad right now. Like I've seen the facts. Now that could be manipulated. So like go into this with grains of salt. But like, at the end of the day, do your own research. Trust yourself. They want to make fun of you for doing your own research. Bitch, that's science. That's dumb motherfuckers saying like, that doesn't make sense. And if this dumb motherfucker thinks it doesn't make sense, then there's probably something wrong with the smart motherfucker's math.
Get angry, Jordan.
I'd like this topic right here, because I know that they're going to try to push this. Like they are signaling it's coming. And don't like, I was fucking mad in 2020. Does anybody else like remember what it felt like back then? Like I remember like knowing I was right, but thinking like I should question some things. Like maybe I'm not.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
It was
an open mind. It was like, none of this is adding up.
It was bottled up. It was bottled up. The benefit anger.
Of the doubt.
Yeah.
This was more like within my family. Like I was giving them the benefit of the doubt. Let me do more research when I know none of them were doing any goddamn research. They just, whatever the TV told them. And I was doing the work. And so it pisses me off because I'm going to do the work again. And if some shit comes out, show me the facts, show me the data. Let me dig into it. And I hope all of you out there listening are going to do that too, because you're the ones that made a difference last time. Like it was just a handful of people that got the information out. There's a lot more people that are pissed off now that are going to be out there. Do your own goddamn research and get it out there and get what you think is the truth out, whether you're right or wrong. If you're wrong, we're going to prove you wrong and say why. And that's what science is. Like, that's what we can do as dumb fucking veteran retarded idiots.
There's a lot of negatives you stacked up on there real quick.
And that was my white pill. I started that out as my white
pill.
If you're you three that I'm talking, that I can see your faces, and everyone else that's watching and listening that I can't see your face,
probably like another three people.
It's you that is the white pill that can make the difference. Just get out there and do it.
Shane, real quick, just to add on to like what Jordan said, is going to take like 10 seconds. Like the to what Jordan just said, as far as like there's a lot more people that are pissed off. Anecdotally, there's a lot of people that I know that were listening to me like say the shit that they didn't necessarily want to hear. And I'm like, look, if you feel like you need to take the vaccine, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I wouldn't do it, but at least reconsider when it goes into like when they start telling you, this is before they rolled out the booster stuff. And I was like, at least start to reconsider or think about what I've been telling you. When they start telling you, you have to take it over and over multiple times in the year. And a lot of those individuals now, like in the last couple of years, they're like, man, I wish I would have fucking listened to you. Like, I really wish I wouldn't have taken it. Like, I didn't think it was going to be as risky as like now that I think it is like what was done over the last couple of years. I just wanted to add that because there's a fuck ton of those people out there now.
I think Gabe, I need some real white pill stuff. Like Jordan gave me that head fake and then he came in.
That's a goddamn white pill, motherfucker.
Really dark shit.
Break yeah. That fucking white pill. It is a white pill, but it's fuck. I forgot the word. It's a hey, suppository.
Let Gabe talk. He's better.
It's a white pill, but it's a suppository. So how bad do you want this white pill?
It had a white coating, but I don't think it was white underneath, man. I'm just going to put it to you like that. Yeah, thanks for putting that on me, Shane. I'm going to try to salvage something out of that. But, I mean, you're on point, Jordan. You really are. But and at the same time, it's just something I want to point out, man, is again, they've essentially just made a declaration. Okay. All right. It has begun. Here you go. Get ready. We're coming. It's going to be the same thing. So get used to it. I know some of you dumbasses hung on to your masks from a couple of years ago and you've been waiting to break them out because you got some special ones with little bedazzle jewels on them and all that other garbage. So, you know, people have been hanging on to those. I don't know where I could possibly find one at this point in time. And I have no intentions of getting any more either. But the fact is this, yeah, we're moving into this type of situation. And last time it was an interesting one because, I worked in healthcare at the time. I was doing, training for a health system, a 5,000 person health system at the time. I was doing leadership training with them. And, I mean, we were ground zero for a pretty bad outbreak. And, you know, from the beginning, there were things that just seemed off and it wasn't right. And yet people were getting sick where we were and it was happening, but the measures and the response to it just didn't seem off from the beginning. And it was interesting because the way that people accepted it and moved forward with it was, in general, a lot of people really approached it with a good deal of skepticism and a little bit of panic, but there was skepticism and like, really, is this really, really happening? I'm not sure if it's really happening. It took a while to really convince people and then the nation and then the world that this was really going on. And there was a concerted media effort to gather collected footage and have everyone telling the same story and using the same script to ensure that everything was lined up, showing body bags and all these great things, which, you know, I'm not saying, I mean, obviously people did die. We can go into the details on, you know, a lot of the causes, you know, if they died from COVID or they died with COVID. I'm gonna leave that alone. But the fact is, at this point in time, it's like people are just ready to jump on it. And they say, okay, cool. All right. It's time for the COVID party again. I don't have to go to work anymore. Work from home. Here we go again. I don't have to talk to people anymore. Great. I can drink beer for breakfast and not have to worry about anybody finding out because you're going to do it anyway. But here's the difference. Here's the difference as I see it.
During the pandemic.
You don't need to ask, man. We do have a local beer manufacturing facility where I live and they did not go out of business. I'm just going to put it to you like that. Now, support local. But here's the deal. I believe that we're in a different situation right now. And I believe that there are very many factors that tie into the situation and the overall mindset, at least of our culture here in America for a good amount of people. And I believe that we're in a mindset where people are not going to tolerate the bullshit the way that they did last time. Not as easily and not as readily. I don't think that people are going to have the same fear for their lives. And yes, Mike, I agree. I think that there is, you know, there is potential for this to turn into a situation where they're setting up the unvaccinated to take the blame for mass loss of life if it does turn out to be a real event. However, I believe that we're in a different frame of mind now as people. I believe that especially in particular, the Bitcoin movement has grown. Bitcoin adoption has furthered. There's more talk of it in the general media. There are presidential candidates that are talking about it. We'll find out how much tonight, at least on the Republican side. But it's more of a topic of conversation. And again, it's not just about money, obviously. Okay, this is a way of life. This is a mental framework in the way that people interact with the world. It's not just about our currency. Yes, I mean, obviously that's what it is, but it's so much more than that. And when people are moving into that different mental framework and those different models that we use that determine how we interact with each other and with the world, it makes us less susceptible to those types of mental manipulations that took everybody down. I use the term everybody loosely, but that took so many people down during the original pandemic, if you will. I see that it was, in a lot of ways, it was a test run. There are entities and people that had been waiting for something like that, or anyway, that had been preparing for something like that to happen so they could implement certain things and see how people would respond. And I believe that the results in their eyes were very favorable and served their intentions well, because people threw their freedoms down on the ground and just said, yeah, that's fine. Just tell me what to do. Just please help me. And it was discouraging to see that humans did that on a mass scale. But I do believe that we came out of the other side of that with more people that are prepared to resist that type of mental manipulation, that we have more people now that are prepared to say, you know what, that was bullshit back then and it's bullshit now, and I'm not going to do it. And in the bigger picture, I believe that this is actually going to position more people to be prepared to have the conversation about Bitcoin and the larger impact that Bitcoin has on our personal freedom and our ability to break away from the reliance that many of us currently have on the existing fiat system. And that is the positive that I see coming from situations like this. This is an opportunity for us to educate more people, to get more people on the mission, and to kill fiat. That's what I got.
Oh man, I was like, he said kill, and I was like, where's he going with this? Oh shit.
We're almost out of time anyway. So
beyond anyway. Yeah, I was gonna say we're getting wrapped up here. I guess I'll say this, and I'll keep it as brief as I can. I remember in September of 2001, is a couple days after 9/11, I was one of the first guys to run into the recruiter's office and say, hey, send me to wherever we have to go to kill these fuckers that killed Americans. And that was, you know, a knee jerk response. That was my, you know, hey, listen, you know, I was raised in a way that you don't take advantage of people. You don't hurt people. You don't take their stuff. And to have 3,000 people murdered in broad daylight by psychopaths that would knock down, you know, towers. And I don't, for any stretch of the imagination, you know, think that for a second jets brought those down, especially the Tower 7, right? So yeah.
Now we're gone.
Yeah, I think in April of 2020, it was right after Kemp came out and started locking down Georgia. I was running for Senate at the time, and I was like, hey, if I can bring attention to this in any way possible, I'm going to. So I called for armed protest and had about 200 people here on short notice in North Georgia, and Boogaloo Boys and everybody else wrote a declaration of independence for that time. And I was, you know, really, I knew about Bitcoin. I was starting to study Bitcoin, but I wasn't a full fledged maxi, I don't think yet. And was kind of to that point where I was like, this is going to change everything. This, you know, this is a departure from what we grew up as, what we, our culture told us we were as Americans, and people are going to sacrifice their rights right now out of fear. And, you know, what Jordan talks about a lot of times is fifth generation, you know, warfare, just the confusing of terminology, of stories, of what's real, what's not real, just the influx of, you know, information that's not real. And at the same time, you know, you had those people who were doing it saying, hey, you know, there's some bad information out there, and now we're going to start really culling a lot of that. So I think my reaction this past week when I saw this was very much in line with my 2001 response, you know, in my mind, at least. And I was cognizant of that, where I got to sit there and be like, oh my God, do they have any idea what they're doing? And I have to think they absolutely 100% know what they're doing. And they know that what the response is, especially a second time around, when more and more people are going to think that this is even more wildly unpopular. So if you've got, you know, guys like me who have this vitriolic response to this vile and evil tyranny that's been hoisted upon us and it is coming down the pipe again, I think there's probably a lot of guys my age, older, and a bunch of dudes who are younger that are you know, thinking what I did in 2001. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I haven't thought about it. I'm not going to sit here and think about and say that I haven't entertained the ideas of what this means for a population. But I will tell you where I do find solace is in this space, literally the orange space where a bunch of Bitcoiners can come together and see hope on the horizon. And I say that because I have one of the best jobs on earth, where I get to talk to people day in and day out and help them get on the mission, literally help them into self-sovereignty and help them get out of, you know, this debased money system and into something that's going to have more purchasing power in the future, that's going to change our culture. And I'm talking to everybody as young as, you know, guys who have fled their country to go take on three jobs in another country where they can, you know, earn a little bit of extra money to put away towards, you know, stacking sats. Or now on the other end of the spectrum, somebody who's in their 80s, who's looking at the wealth that they have accumulated over a lifetime for their kids, for their grandkids, and for generations to come. And to see that on a daily basis gives me a tremendous amount of hope that, you know, as peacefully as we can decentralize, as peacefully as we can kind of push these things off, there are people out there that are great people around the world that I am literally talking to on a daily basis that are on this mission, that are converting their friends, that are converting their family, and they are literally bringing them to me or people in the space going, hey, let's help you out and let's help everybody else out. And the nail in the coffin for these idiots is, go ahead, lock down again, start printing more freaking money and show people how badly you don't understand economics. And that's the thing, is you can talk about theories of economics until the theory that you're in absolutely gets crushed. And right now, Keynesian theory is getting its ass handed to itself. Like, go ahead and lock everybody down and print trillions and trillions of more dollars and debase everybody and see how that goes over a second time around. You are going to create more Bitcoiners at a faster rate than has ever happened in history. And I think that's something that's really interesting. So I guess I'll leave it at that. I think most of you guys got your closing remarks. So I didn't miss anybody. If you want to say anything else?
Yeah, I think you missed Alex.
Yeah. He's running a little late. Alex, he's in the middle of some big stuff right now. And shout out to Alex. We hope you're doing well. We're looking forward to your return in a couple weeks. But for us here at Bitcoin Veterans, we're going to sign off. Go out there, learn Bitcoin, share it with your friends, bring people, subscribe, like, all that fun stuff. If you are interested and you're a veteran and you want to get into the Bitcoin Veterans group out here, send one of us a message and we'll try, you know. And we're all on Twitter, pretty easy to find us. You can find most of us under the Bitcoin Veterans tab out there. And I think outside of that, Bitcoin, don't shit coin. Peace out.
See you, fellas.